They went back to their own people and they reported everything, and then they raised their voices in prayer. I mean, it's just a beautiful statement, the Bible. When they heard it, they lifted up their voices. They just gathered together and they began to pray together. And this complete and courageous prayer came from the heart of these gathered people. And it's amazing what the content of their prayer was. Just watch this just for a second. You see, complete and courageous prayer, first of all, acknowledges the sovereignty of God. It's exactly what happened. They lifted their voices together and said, "Sovereign Lord, you are the one who made the heavens and the earth." Complete and courageous prayer, right up front. You know, Jesus did the same thing, because the disciples came to him during his earthly ministry and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." How did Jesus begin? He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's the acknowledgement of who God is. When you acknowledge the sovereignty of God, you are affirming that He is the one. It begins and ends with Him. Because He not only made the heavens and the earth, but He made every one of us. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God knows about you, and He knows about me. He knows us intimately, intricately, in the minutest detail. And complete and courageous prayer acknowledges who God is.
Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson. Dr. Don will be diving back into God's Word in just a moment on this message, A Long Walk to Mount Zion, and how that applies to you and I in our daily walk of serving Jesus Christ. Know that we're here for you, though. We'd love to pray with you and for you as we start our Bible study. We can touch base online at theencouragingword.org or on the phone as well at 866-899-WORD. I know we text and type so much today. Sometimes a conversation's just what we need. We'd love to pray with you. Again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilson.
This phrase yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been created, have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's not dependent on the flimsiness of our weak personalities and humanity, not dependent on the death and the decay of the world in which we live. Let's fix our attention on that which lasts forever. My friends, look at me. I want to beg you today, please give your heart to Jesus. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Wow. This walk from the valley of Mount Sinai to the pinnacle of Mount Zion. Two things I just want to share with you here today as we try to understand it. This walk in God's economy began in the valley of Mount Sinai. There they were. There are hundreds and thousands of people today in our world who are still in that valley. God's giving you an invitation to come from out of the valley, because He's removed the limits. He's taken away the barrier. He set us free. Do you know that there is not a single thing that you can do to merit your own salvation? You're still in the valley. You're still locked in to this legalism. You and I, we look at our church and we say, "That's it. If we go to church, we'll find favor with God. Our goodness, that's it. If we just are good people, we're going to find favor with God." That's it. If we're good citizens, we're going to find favor with God. That's it. If we just exercise our vote, that's it. God's going to find favor with us. We look at our money. We say, well, you know, we do give our money to our church and to the poor. That's it. If we just give, then God, we look at all the things. If we just rear our children and raise them up in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord, if we remain faithful to our husbands and wives, that's it. If we read our Bible, that's it. If that's what you believe gives you eternal life, you're still in the valley. Albeit these things are wonderful. I want to be a good father and a grandfather, not in order to gain favor with God, but because I have gained favor with God through Jesus. I want to give my money to the church. I want to tithe. I want to support people. I want to help the weak, and I want to provide for the needy. Not in order to gain favor. I've left the valley. I'm on Mount Zion. Stop it. God's saying, come out of the valley. There were four things the Bible tells us in this passage about this journey that began in the valley. Number one, Mount Sinai was untouchable. That's what he tells us very clearly there in verse 18. Untouchable. People couldn't touch the mountain. They couldn't touch God. You didn't dare do that. It was untouchable. Number two, it was unbearable. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. This mountain that cannot be touched is a blazing fire encompassed by darkness and gloom and storms. In other words, what he is saying is that man, in man's attempt to try to reconcile himself to God, is going to come up with nothing but emptiness. Because it's not about man, it's all about God. Mount Sinai, God spoke. He declared himself untouchable. He declared himself unbearable. He let it be known. It was unattainable, according to verse 20. The Bible says, for they could not endure the order. Could I help us to understand how unattainable Mount Sinai is? Let's just go through the Ten Commandments again. Listen, folks, if keeping the Ten Commandments, if you'll beg my phrase, was our ticket to heaven, I wonder how many of us would get to heaven. So great is the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. So great. This grace of God, the love of our Heavenly Father, is so wonderful and awesome. He's a consuming fire. There are so many discussions and ways of describing God as a consuming fire. One of the things that I love to think about is the fact that when Jesus Christ came, God, because He is holy and righteous, and through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, so indwells me that all the filthiness of my sin and all my limitations and all the things that I've done in His sight, no matter what it is, that He burns everything up because He is righteous and He presents me as pure and spotless in His presence. It was untouchable and unbearable and unattainable, but it was also very uncomfortable. It's an amazing verse that when the Bible tells us that even their leader, Moses, trembled. That's what the word tells us. Moses told the people, he told God, he said, I tremble with fear. I don't know what to do. And here is God who is loving and long-suffering. Look at us, folks, how God invites us to come into His presence. Look at how God presents Himself to us. Through Christ, He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we come to Him with all these things, this journey that we've been on. We've been trapped right there at the foot of Mount Sinai. We've had all these limits, and we've gone up hill and down dale, and we've gone through battles and disappointments, and the anger and the hostility and people who have let us down. We've been dropped over the edge and we've fallen over the cliff and we're hungry, and one minute we're happy and the next minute we're sad. And all the time we're looking. That's what these people did. They carried God around in a box, and they would put him down, and they would get out the tabernacle, and they would come and they worship God, and their priest would help them, and they would have these great moments of ecstasy, and then they would go out into the battlefield, and down they would go, and then up they would go, and then down they would go. And Jesus came and said, "Why don't you just step out from the valley and take this walk with me to Calvary, and I'm going to lift you up right onto the very peak of Mount Zion. That's what I'm going to do."
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. We'll be back with the completion of today's message, A Long Walk to Mount Zion, in just a moment. But we want to remind you that we have some wonderful resources that help you as a disciple of Christ to add some discipline to your life. A daily time in God's Word. It could be the most important thing you'll ever do beyond saying yes to Jesus Christ, and that's spending some time on a daily basis to let God's Word change the way we act and react. And we have a wonderful resource that'll help you start that. If you're not doing this on a regular basis, or a tool for you to use it to jumpstart your quiet time, so to speak, we call it the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's available free for the asking. If you'd like a physical copy, we have a small booklet that includes an entire quarter, 3 months of daily insight from God's Word and from Dr. Wilton. Again, it's free for the asking if you call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. A perfect hard copy that can go everywhere, from over your visor for study in the middle of carpool line, or in your Bible or on your nightstand. That's the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. But some of you, like me, enjoy the electronic nudge to your day. I got an email from Dr. Don, the Daily Encouraging Word email, about 6:05 every morning, maybe 5:45, but it starts my day in such a powerful way. I encourage you to sign up. You can sign up online at theencouragingword.org, or just text the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and you'll sign up and be ready. That's texting the word daily to 30500 to sign up for your daily edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Now back to today's message.
That's what salvation is, by the way. It's God rescuing us from our bondage through His grace. That's why I love that verse in verse 23. It's a powerful verse. He tells us there, he says, "But you have come to God. But you have come to God. You are the ones who have said, 'I am turning my heart and life over to you, God, in your divine plan for my redemption. I am coming to you.'" And the Bible here tells us exactly what has happened to us when we come to him in verse 22. We've come to Mount Zion. We've come to the city of the living God. We've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels. We've come to the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We've come into that family where all those who have gone before us, who were faithful and who belong to him by faith, are there too. We've come to be participants together forever in all that God has given to us. You know, there are three mountains really that have great significance in the scriptures. Literal mountains. There's Mount Sinai, where God spoke and kept the people at bay. There's Mount Moriah. That's where the Temple Mount is today in Jerusalem. When you look at pictures of Jerusalem and you see that big golden dome that's now controlled by the Muslims, that's Mount Moriah. What happened at Mount Moriah? That's where Abraham, in obedience to God, took his only son, marched him up that mountain, said, "God, if you're wanting me to kill my own son, to be obedient to you, to gain access to you, I will even kill my own son." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine such incredible obedience? And right there at that moment, God said, "Hold on. This is not about the killing of your son. It's about your obedience. And I tell you, when we talk about your obedience, I want to point you to my kindness, to my graciousness, to my love, to my divine plan for your redemption." And he provided the perfect way. And there was caught in the thicket a ram and blood was spilt. And right there, way back in the book of Genesis, God showed us on the Mount of Moriah this incredible picture whereby through Jesus Christ, we are taken out from the valley at the base of Mount Sinai, and we are taken right there onto the hilltop of Mount Zion. We end up there at Mount Zion, and the Bible tells us three things about that. Number one, where it is heavenly. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 tells us, you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That's the New Jerusalem. Now, I just tell you a brief word about the New Jerusalem, folks. Do you know that that's in the Bible, in the book of Revelation? Why don't you look at it with me? Go to Revelation chapter 21. Just turn over your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. Let me show you what God says about that. In Revelation chapter 21, this is what he's talking about. This is Mount Zion. Here it is. This is where it all ends. Revelation chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. You ready for verse 2? And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. There it is, same words used in Hebrews chapter 12, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, crying, pain anymore, for the former things who have passed away. Everything now has become brand new. Here's what's going to happen, folks. This is what God's saying. When you leave your valley and you lay aside all these things that you've been dealing with all your life, all the ups and downs, all the strivings, all the church meetings, all the readings, all the good things that we've done, everything that we try to do ourselves, so many wonderful things. When you lay this all aside and you turn your life and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you indeed are the Christ. I believe that you are the Messiah. You are God's Son. I believe you died on a cross for me. And by the power of God, you were raised from the dead. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God reaches down. He takes you out of the valley of Mount Sinai and he places you on the peak of Mount Zion. What is it? Where it is heavenly, where it is alive, and where it is joyful. Those three designations in those verses there are a very brief description of eternal heaven. Here's what's going to happen. When the world comes to an end, as we know it, the heavens are going to open. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Heaven is going to open. And Jesus, who now is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, is going to come out of heaven. With him, all the believers in heaven are going to come with him. He's going to come, and according to the Bible, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. That's the same place where Jesus ascended. Remember, he went to the Mount of Olives and he went up into heaven. The disciples all stood. They didn't know what was going on, and God sent an angel, and the angel said, men of Galilee, don't worry. The same Jesus who went up is going to come back down again. Revelation chapter 19. Heaven is going to open. Jesus is going to come back down. When he gets back to this earth with all the armies, he's going to march down across the Kidron Valley. He's going to once again take back Mount Moriah. That belongs to him. That's the place of his sacrifice. Doesn't matter who's in control of it. because he is the temple. He's not going to build a new church because he is the church. He's going to reestablish his kingdom. Then he's going to march from there through the hills of Samaria into the battlefields of Armageddon. When he gets to the battle of Armageddon, he's going to be faced by the kings of the earth. It's going to be a war set up like you and I can't imagine. Not one shot will be fired. Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that Jesus is going to speak by the word of his mouth. He's going to defeat Satan and all those who would come against him. Then he's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to set up his 1,000-year reign in Jerusalem. Jesus will be headquartered in Jerusalem. Every single one of us who know Jesus Christ will be with him on this earth. There is never again in the Bible any mention of Jesus going back up into heaven. One of those reasons is because there's going to be no more separation between heaven and earth. That's what we just read. That's all gone. There's no more gravity. There's no more stellar heaven. There's no more outer space. And there's no more upper heaven. Remember, Jesus passed through the three heavens. He conquered that. He conquered sin and death and the grave. And he's going to set up his rule. And it's at that point that God the Father is going to bring the holy Jerusalem out of heaven. That means heaven up there is going to come down and establish as one heaven down here. The triune God will once again be seen as one God, even though he is three, God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit. As soon as that is complete, he will gather all those who have said no to him at the great white throne judgment. And anybody whose name is not found written in the book of life is going to be cast from him, going to be put away from him forever and forever. That's why in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about Mount Zion is going to be filled with all those whose names are written in God's book in heaven. Isn't that fantastic? That's what we just read about in chapter 12. And then the Bible says, from that moment on, all time and all eternity begins. It'll never again change. I can't even begin to describe to you how long that is. It's like trying to describe when God began. You can't, because God always has been. He's eternal. You and I are going to live with him forever. That's why you must give your heart to the Lord Jesus. You must do it now. If you haven't given your life to Christ, do it now. I want you to bow your heads with me as Steve comes, and right there in our beautiful Genesis service as Jared and the band come. This is time. This is your time. I want you to pray this prayer with me today and make it your own prayer. I want to invite you to ask God to write your name in God's book in heaven. He will do it. You pray this because he alone is mighty to save. Here it is. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is Christ. I believe Jesus is God's Son. I ask you to come into my heart. I repent of my sin, confess my sin to you, and I give my life to you. Perhaps I've given my life to you this week. Perhaps I'm giving my life to you today. Come into my heart, and I am going to claim that I know that I am going to heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ today. I have left the valley, and I'm standing on Mount Zion, and I thank you. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, not me, he said that if we confess him publicly before men, he will confess us publicly before his Father which is in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? You know, he didn't stop there. I wish he had. He went on, he said, but if you deny me publicly, I'll deny you. I guess he just knew human nature. Most of us say, well, you know, Christianity is just such a private thing. No, it's not. Your salvation is private because only God can save you. Your Christianity is the light. And Jesus said, let your light so shine that all the world would see and know.
A powerful message from God's Word through His servant, Dr. Don Wilton. Only God can save you. I pray that you would know that if you're finding yourself challenged by some of the thoughts you've heard today from the pastor, and our prayer is that you would have heard it not just from the pastor, but that the Lord's been using our pastor to speak to you through His Word, the Bible, that if you'd like to talk with someone, we're here. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. And I know we text and talk so much today. Sometimes the conversation is a lost art, but we would love to speak with you, to pray for you at 866-899-9673. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don would like to speak to you as well. One more very important thought.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Now, if the Lord has done something and you know you've made a decision, you've made a course correction, you need to let someone know. Why not let us know? Our pastor would say, let him know. You can email him, Don, at theencouragingword.org, and he would love to hear from you. That's Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to hear from you as well. Right away, you can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or visit us online at theencouragingword.org. And just want to say thanks again for so many of you that are becoming prayer and financial supporters of the ministry. We call you encouragers.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.